time for some old-fashioned family fun in the form of some parlour games. And guess what? There's nothing related to screens. It's often requiring no more than a few scraps of paper and a sense of humour. They're easy to do. And as the troops are already nicely gathered and their bubbles around the country, there's no reason not to. We welcome Mafanui Jones. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, also
Lovely to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. Also, Sperry Tinsidas, who have co-authored Parlour Games for Modern Families. Hi, Sperry.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. You two were sitting in a Melbourne park one day watching the kids play, and what did you start talking about?
Well, we started talking about some of the old-fashioned games that we used to play as kids, things like knuckle bones and marbles and various card games. And we were a bit challenged in terms of remembering the rules, but also we thought how wonderful it would be to introduce some of these games to our children and keep some of those traditions going.
Yeah, so we really put the book together for our own use. That was sort of the simple motivation all the way through, is that it was something we really wanted.
So what were some of the first ones that came to mind? You mentioned knuckle bones, for goodness sake, I've forgotten all about them. But what were some of the other games that first came to mind from your own childhoods?
Well, knuckle bones was a big one for me. My grandfather taught me how to play knuckle bones. I've been thinking about that lately because he also had cupboards packed full of Dynamo and Campbell's soup. They were stockpiling through the Depression, which seems to be what we're doing again with the virus. So games are ancient. And knuckle bones is probably the oldest game in our book. It's I think there was a painting that came out of Pompeii with a bunch of goddesses playing knuckle bones, and it's barely changed since. Some other games, we grew up in a games-playing family. We also played a lot of card games and dice games, and another favourite in the book of mine is Dictionary. I don't know if you know that one, Catherine?
I feel like I should, but explain a little bit more.
Well, again, it's a simple one. You need a dictionary and a bunch of people around a table with paper and pens, and someone picks an obscure word out of the dictionary, and everyone has to, it's a trust-based thing, everyone has to say whether or not they've heard of the word, and then everyone comes up with a definition, and you go around the circle hearing the definition, and there's a sort of voting system to about which is the right one, and points are accumulated for whether, just say you've come up with a word that no one, your definition goes in as well, but no one picks the right definition. Anyway, it's quite wonderful, and we used to play that.
I'm just thinking you might need an adults only version. I could see where that one would go.
Yeah, there's lots of adults only versions, variations of these games.
Indeed. One of the things when we were creating this book is that we wanted it to be for both adults and children and various incarnations. So it's for people between 4 and 104. So you can play some of these games with grandparents, and potentially you could even do that virtually via Skype if you like, I guess, these days now that we're in isolation. But certainly some of the games are... most of the games are suitable for various ages.
What's Wink Murder?
Oh, that's another favourite in my house. We play a couple of variations of that. That's you sitting around a table and you have different... You write on a paper, murderer, and then citizens, and you put them in a hat and you have to pick them out. No one knows. No one knows at the table who the murderer is. And they kill people at the table by winking at them. And then, you know, the person does some hilarious, dramatic death. And the first person to work out who the murderer is the winner. So you obviously try to wink at people when no one else can see. And we have a version called Vampires where we bare our teeth, which is hilarious.
So the point of this sometimes is that you don't, like I'm thinking of, what's that, it's Cluedo. You don't even need that kit. You can do this with either a pen and paper or sometimes with nothing at all.
Yeah, well, the sort of the criteria of the games is that you don't need to go out and buy anything or turn anything on, that it's all things that you're going to have to hand, cards, dice, paper and pens, and a sense of humour and imagination, yeah.
Indeed, and we have quite a few games in the book that are the Parlour Games versions of trademarked games such as Balderdash and Pictionary and Battleships and so on. So essentially, if you wanted to play those games or you played them when you were younger but you don't have the kit per se, or the board game or whatever, then you can go back to the parlour games versions without much at all.
Some of them are good for expending energy, so what are some of those?
Okay, look, we've got a favourite called the sock game, where essentially two players are blindfolded and they have their helper with them. So it's a game generally for four, but you could play it in bigger groups or in a slightly smaller group perhaps. And essentially you spin the blindfolded person around and their helper hands them socks, and the idea is to try and hit the other player with a sock, and then once the player is hit, then you swap, and so the other person, the helper, gets blindfolded. It's really hysterical. It's a great way to expend energy, lovely for older kids and teenagers and adults, and you can play it outside. So that's definitely one of our top five, I reckon, for this particular period that we're finding ourselves in.
And good old balloon volleyball, yeah. That's an old favourite. I wonder if I could ask you, just to be trying to settle people down, there's Squiggle is one, and there's Doublets, another one, another great word game that I think that goes back to Lewis Carroll of Alice in Wonderland fame. Could you tell us a little about those two?
Right. Yeah, look, Doublets is a really old game, as you say, that Lewis Carroll invented to keep some young friends of his entertained. And essentially you start with a word, for example, the word head, and then you would turn it into another word, say tail, by just changing one letter at a time in as few moves as possible. So potentially you could play with two or more and make it competitive so that whoever gets there first wins. But you can also just play it on your own as a bit of an exercise. It is a settling down one. It's probably suitable for slightly older children and adults. But we have a couple of sort of more settling down ones. Another lovely one is the Squiggle game. And I don't know, some people might remember the long-running ABC show Mr. Squiggle, where you draw a squiggle and then you need to try and make it into as creative a picture as possible. Again, you could do that with one person, or you could play it as a team or in slightly bigger groups. So there's lots of lovely word games and pen and paper games that would be suitable for a bit more quiet time, for when parents just need that 10 or 15 or 20 minutes just to catch their breath.
It is, of course, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say another one for when things get particularly out of hand is called Dead Fish, also known as Sleeping Lion or Resting Tigers, which is where kids just lie down and have to keep it still if they possibly can, which, it's quite fun too.
That old trick.
That old trick, exactly.
Some of the games, because it was, of course, Victorian parlour games, and they were an interesting era in all sorts of ways, but some of the games couldn't make the cut for the book. What was Snapdragon?
Ah, Snapdragon. We actually played that and we loved it, but of course we knew it was not going to get through. It was an after-dinner game in the Victorian parlour where you set light to raisins, which you've soaked in liquor, and then you snap them between your finger and forethumb to create sort of lurid flames. Actually was fun, but we thought the helicopter parents wouldn't like that one.
They may be chilling out, you know, this time. They may be having a rethink of their approach to their beloved. There was another one called Flip the Kipper, I think, that I was curious about.
Yes. Look, Flip the Kipper is a lovely old-fashioned game, and essentially what you do with Flip the Kipper is cut out fish shapes out of newspapers, and you sort of line up your players, and then you use something like a book or a phone book or something like that to try and sort of push the fish forward over the finish line. It's a really old one, and it's really sweet, and you know, again, it could be quite active and a bit of fun, certainly for younger players.
And just one more, perhaps. I was just reading some advice on how to make knuckle bones from the bones of a leg of lamb. I was just wondering how people were going to get their knuckle bones in the lockdown. But if you're really dedicated and have some butchery skills, you can make your own. But tell me about Mafia. This is a more recent game.
Oh, that was That was developed, I think, in Russia in the 80s. But we included it because my sons brought that home from school, and my youngest son, who's 17, still meets up with friends to play Mafia. It's sort of in the tradition of Wink Murder, but it's more complicated. And it's a group, and one person is the Mafia, and then there's townspeople, and there's cards involved. It's probably a bit too complicated to
explain.
Describe
yeah.
over the phone.
This is yeah.
It's a great one for older kids and adults. That one. You play that at a dinner party.
This was a 2010 Australian Book Industry Awards Book of the Year for older children. Was it?
Yeah, that was a lovely.
Look, we had an amazing time creating this book, and even down the track, we are still really proud of it. It's a very light-hearted book in that we've got things like recipes for jam tart and how to make knuckle bones and interviews with older people who tell us about the games that they played. It's really written in a very lovely light way.
Wonderful.
And we're very pleased. Yeah,
well,
still love
I hope the ebook sales are walking out the door. I imagine they might be around now. People, if you want to follow up and see if there's great ideas for your family, the ebook details are on our website. And thanks very much to the authors, Mafanui Jones and Sperry Tinsaras. They've co-authored Parlour Games for Modern Families. Thank you, ladies.